Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time for the Saturday Spotlight with your host, Jeffrey Rochelle.
Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, good Saturday evening, Saturday. Good evening, y'all. It's Saturday, January 16th, 2021, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Saturday Spotlight with the one, the only, your boy, that's E-R-Y, not R-E-Y. R-O-S-H-E-L-L, Jeffrey Rochelle, and this is the Saturday Spotlight. Tonight, we talk to author Coco Icy. Icy Coco. We talk to authoress Coco Icy tonight. We talk to her, find out who she is, and we will talk about her books. She has some very exciting books. Some exciting titles I saw, some really good books. I'm excited to be talking to authors Coco Icy tonight. But before we do that, as always, let's get started with a recap of the week. So how was you guys this week? Man, was very interesting, I might say. A lot of changes going on at my job. As you all know, I've been promoted at the job, and it's a very bittersweet moment because I come from the front desk. And the front desk of my job is going through a lot of changes, meaning that the people that I was working with, it's going to be a different crew coming in. So it's a bittersweet moment. It's going to be sad because next Friday, is my last day tentatively as a front desk patient access rep. I have moved on to the healthcare coordination team for HIV and AIDS prevention, and I'm excited about that. And that's more money, too. $6 pay rate raise, $6, not one, $6 pay rate raise. So I'm excited about that. And then I'm also going to another site, and that site is only 10 minutes from the house. It can't get no better from the Lord than that. You get a $6 pay raise, and you also going to the site at your job that's nearly 10 minutes from your house. That's gas right there. Gas I'm saving, because I only fill up, I think, once a week, going to the site I work now, but just being at the site that I'm going to now, I'm only going to be 10 or 15 minutes away from the house at the most, a blessing. I don't even think it's even 15 minutes. It's about a good 10 minutes. And without any traffic on the street, regular street going that way, it's about a good 7 or 8 minutes. So thanks be unto God, whom all blessings flow. I am grateful for the opportunity. I am thankful to my former supervisor, Sophia Wren, for giving me the recommendation and going on to this new position at the company and, you know, recommending me to that department supervisor. And then that department supervisor coming to me and saying, hey, Mr. Rochelle, I've watched your work ethic at this front desk. You've only been here almost a year, but you have excelled in customer service skills and also your work ethic skills. So there would be no other reason why I wouldn't see you a good fit to be on the healthcare coordination team with me as the HIV and AIDS prevention coordinator. So thanks be unto God. God is really blessing. In spite of all the things that is going on in the world right now, all the crazy, the coronavirus that we've been going through for almost, it's going to be almost a year, y'all. Almost a year. It's setting in what? When did the coronavirus really set in? Like, what was it, next month or March? But it's almost a year we've been dealing with this coronavirus. So it's like with all the crazy stuff that's going on, all the people that we're losing left and right, you know, like I said, my heart still goes out to those that are losing loved ones and those that are losing. And people are leaving left and right. A friend of mine was in a bad car accident, just died. Two people I went to school with just recently died. It's just so much death around us. But as I stated, with all this that's going on, in spite of God, it's still in the blessing business. And we cannot lose our faith, and we cannot shut down in spite of what's going on. I know it's a lot. It's a lot to say that. But if you keep a positive mind, Frank, keep your mind on positive things and keep your focus on what needs be. You know, you won't be consumed to all this craziness that's going wrong. There's like a lot, like I said, it's a lot going on, and y'all know it is. But we got to remain positive, remain humble, and things will they turn around. They do. They really turn around, y'all. But those are my blessings that I'm thankful for. And like I said, thanks again to God for this promotion. I'm happy about it, excited. And I started next Monday, not this Monday, but the following Monday, the 25th. So, also, did y'all see? I don't label him as my president. I'm sorry. I just have never labeled him the last past 4 years as my president. But did y'all see y'all's president get impeached for the second time? The second time he's been impeached. And a lot of people say, well, why did they wait till now? They should have did it before. That's true. But the fact of the matter is that the man has gotten impeached twice. And that means something. But as I stated, with all this craziness that's going on, y'all stay prayed up this week, because this, you know, this inauguration for Biden and Kamala Harris is coming up. And we want to speak life into a positive ceremony, despite what happened at the Capitol. We want to speak life into a positive ceremony for them. We want to speak positive blessings their way their entire term of serving, and hopefully another 4 years after that, you know. But we want to speak positive life blessings into the inauguration for President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. We don't want to speak and think about nothing negative. When people are talking about all this other stuff, I went and worked at a site that needed help at the front desk this week. And the girl that worked over there, she was just so negative. Talking, it's going to be a civil war and all that. I shut it down real quick. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to speak life into positive things. We're not going to think negative, because when you think negative, negative stuff happens and it clouds your brain. So we're going to speak positive life into an inauguration. As long as you got God in your life, you know, you can speak those positive things. So I had to shut that down real quick with that coworker and tell her, look, I believe in a higher power being that's called Jesus Christ. And we're going to speak positive things into this inauguration. So let no hurt, harm, danger come to anybody, especially our newly elected president and Vice President Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. So pretty excited about the inauguration as well myself. Also, I've been reading, as you know, for the past couple of weeks, this month's book is Midnight by Sister Soulja. Next month, I'm trying to tentatively finish Midnight, y'all, so I can get into Coldest Winter Ever. I read the Coldest Winter Ever, I think, when I was either in junior high school or high school, my beginning years of high school, many years ago, but I did not finish it. But the book was good, but I just did not finish it. So I want to go back, and I want to reread the Coldest Winter Ever in anticipation for her follow-up sequel to that book, which drops in March. So as you all know, this month we're reading Midnight. Next month, I'm going to try to finish Midnight, y'all, so we can get next month, we can start reading Coldest Winter Ever. That'll be the book of the month. And then also, her sequel follow-up book will be the book of the month in March. So those, like I said, if you guys are not reading anything, or if you have not read Midnight, go ahead and grab it. It's 496 pages, but it has its ups and downs. It's not a boring book. It's just a long book. And on my off-peak days at work this week, especially when I went to work at the other site, which was more slower than my normal site that I work at, I was able to bring the book and read pages and get into it a little bit. But it has taken my interest, needless to say, from what I've heard from certain other people. There have been down points, but they ain't been boring down points. You know, when I was reading people's reviews on Midnight and the sequels to Midnight and just every other book that she's written besides The Coldest Winter Ever, even this new one that some reviewers have had before it even dropped, they said it wasn't all that. But I myself, when I picked it up, It just had like slow moments, but the book was not boring. I've read some boring books thrown across the room. But I want to say, regardless of that, Midnight has kept my interest. Like I said, it's a long book, 496 pages, but it's kept me going over the couple of nights and weeks, and I should have been at page 200-something, so I'm going to try to get that this week to knock this book out because I want to be done with it by the week after next. We only got two more weeks with this week of January, so I want to be starting in the coldest winter ever, if not the second week of February, the third week, so I can finish that so we can get into the sequel to that in March. But that is what I'm reading. If you guys are not reading anything, again, the book of the month for the Saturday Spotlight this month is Midnight. Next month will be the coldest winter ever. And also health as well. Are you spending your time with doing 30 or 45 minutes of exercise regimen? I myself have cut out fatty foods. I have not eaten any Popeyes, any Harold's Chicken, any KFC. I've been eating salads. I've been doing salads. I have been in the vending machine at work. I haven't been, you know, getting my usual. And I have not been eating after a certain time of night. Like, I used to normally snack at, like, 9, 10 o'clock at night. I've not done none of that. And I can feel the lightness of my body as I've done this, the drastic change, opposed to what I was doing before with eating after certain times of the night, eating the wrong type of food. And like I said, I've stuck onto this regimen because on my mom's side, she has all those health issues and health problems. And like I told you all, I lost one of my youngest uncles at the age of 45 to a massive heart attack years ago. He was only 45 years old when he died years ago. So with me approaching that, because, you know, this is my last year of my 30s, I'll be 40 this year. I want to get back to where I was a couple of years ago with, you know, the size that I was. And not saying that I'm not happy with the size that I am now, but I want to live a healthy life. I want to live a long life. My mom is in her 60s, and she looks like she is in her late 40s. So there's no reason why if she can do it, I can't do it too. And that's why I say I stress health as well. If you want to be big boned, and we, you know, we all are, I'm one of those big boned guys, two of those big guys. And, you know, some people think that's okay. And if that's you, that's fine. But I want to live a healthy life. I had lost a lot of weight years ago. I want to get back to that point because I want to live a long, healthy life. Like I said, my mom is in her 60s. And she looks good for her age. She looks like she's in her late 40s. So health as well. If you're not going to do something for an hour, at least take every other day, if not every day, and do something for 30 to 35 minutes at the max. Also this week, I took the vaccine shot. I took the vaccine shot, everybody. I went and took the vaccine shot at work. And how do I feel? Because that's what everybody asked me. I feel okay. I feel okay. I don't feel any different. I was in a little arm pain after the shot, but they said that was natural. You're going to be in pain from the shot in your arm where you got it at. But needless to say, I'm still here. I ain't turned into a gremlin. I'm not out doing the Michael Jackson thriller walk. So I say this to say, if you all are having doubts about this shot, because there are so many different mixed emotions, mixed views, just look at the people, and me is one of them as an example, that have taken it and kind of shift your gears a little bit if you're not thinking about taking it, because I feel great. I feel fine. I'm ready for my second dose when I get ready to take it. But I took the vaccine shot, and needless to say, I'm still here. So I feel great. I feel wonderful. My mom just took her second dose. She's still here. And, you know, like I said, if you have a mixed emotions and feelings, you want to do what you want to do for yourself and what's best, but also, you know, look at the positive aspects on this and, you know, what it can do for you and for us in the long run. A lot of people say, I'm not taking it. It's the devil shot, this, that, you know, blah, blah. That's why I go back to saying that negative mindset. We got to keep a positive mind frame on everything. So look at the positive side of it and use us that's already taking it as a good example. So maybe sway your mind and say, okay, I'll go ahead and give it a shot. It wasn't mandatory for me to take it. I do work, of course, you know, for a healthcare clinic. I decided to take it because my mom took it. She took it, and she just did her second dose. She's fine. She's still here. So I said, okay, I will get vaccinated. And like I said, needless to say, I feel fine. I feel great. So I'm ready for my second dose. All right. As always, we are at that point of the show. This show is sponsored by Beggar's Pizza in Gary, Indiana. And they're located at 4345 South Broadway in Gary, Indiana. Tonight, they're open till 10 p.m. Sunday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. And you can call your orders then at 219-951-0695. Pick up your order or you can get it delivered through DoorDash by visiting GaryBeggarsPizza.com. Again, that Beggar's Pizza is in Gary, Indiana. It's located at 4345 South Broadway in Gary, Indiana. You might want to get on and give a call. This is because of COVID hours. They're open until 10 o'clock tonight, and they're open tomorrow through Friday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can call your order in at 219-951-0695. And Mickey's on Stoney, located at 8126 South Stoney Island Avenue in Chicago, Illinois, home of the famous jerk fries, the salmon burger, and the Mickey's Classic Burger. You can call in or get delivery. Their number is 773-902-2800, and they're open till midnight tonight, but you might want to call and check with them, too, because we're working on COVID time, COVID hours, but their number, again, is 773-902-2800, and they're located at 8126 South Stoney Island Avenue on the southeast side of Chicago, Illinois. And raise the bar. Raise the bar. Punch Jennifer Coles for Martha Mayer. She's owner or co-owner of Raise the Bar. But Raise the Bar is located at 3350 West 159th Street in Markham, Illinois. And their new hours to further notice is Wednesday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 7 p.m., Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., and they're closed on Sundays and Tuesdays. That's due to COVID. Right now, they have a one person-to-person pickup curbside and also inside the store. They have daily specials. You can call ahead to see what it is for that day. Their sweet variety shop is always open. Every day they're open. And they offer catering and also event menu catering. They make their own custom cakes and pies and cookies. And their number is 708-566-4088. That's Raise the Bar, located at 3350 West 159th Street in Markham, Illinois. And their phone number is 708-566-4088. And Pop Culture Popcorn, home of the 50-plus flavors of popcorn. So that does not mean that they only have caramel, cheese. They got a jerk flavor popcorn, a bubblegum flavor popcorn, a pizza flavor popcorn. They have 50-plus flavors of popcorn. So if you're a popcorn lover in the south suburbs, south side of Chicago, close to the area, you want to check out my friend, Mr. Gardner, at Pop Culture Popcorn. And they're located at 509 East 153rd Street in Phoenix, Illinois. Their hours of operation on Saturday and Sunday, Wednesday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 5 p.m., and they're closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. So they only open Saturday and Sunday, Wednesday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 5 p.m., closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. And their phone number is 708-825-9105. Again, their number is 708-825-9105. That's Pop Culture Popcorn, located at 509 East 153rd Street in Phoenix, Illinois. All right. Okay. So we have come to that moment that we come to every week of the show, which I bring on the featured author of the week. And that this week is none other than author Coco Icy. She's a little nervous, you all. So we're gonna make Coco feel at home. I hope she got her a little drink and a little snack. And I told her in my inbox that this is going to be just like a regular phone conversation, but it's live. We're going to talk to Coco about her books. We're going to talk to Coco about her everyday life and, you know, all that stuff leading up to her wanting to write books and all that good stuff. And just all that good natural stuff is just going to be a regular phone conversation. So we're going to help Coco get some jitterbugs up out of her system. She's going to feel like she's right at home. So, Saturday Spotlight, give it up for author Coco Icy. Coco Icy, good evening. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great, doing great. Good to hear your voice finally.
Same here.
You still a little nervous? Still a little nervous?
No. I ain't nervous now.
Okay. Did you pour yourself a drink, Coco, and get your little snack, and you're on the couch or wherever you need it? Are you relaxed?
Yes.
Are you relaxed?
Yeah, I am relaxed.
Okay.
I'm sipping my water, just chilling.
Okay. Okay, check you out. Got my water, too, my water and my ice. And like I told you, we just going to feel like we're right at home. So don't be nervous.
Perfect.
This is going to go really great. Yes.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. So my first question, Coco, as I always ask every author, tell us who you are, how did you start out writing? Well, who you are, what made you want to write books, and where you're from?
Okay. Well, my name is Coco Ice. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. I started writing books when I was younger. I was in oratorical, doing oratorical speeches. I was, like, doing essays. And I always loved writing stories. I looked up to Zane as, she was just the literary god at the time. So, I mean, she still is to me. So I just started reading her books, and I got inspired to start writing.
Okay, cool. So you're more of are you in the genre of erotica writing? Is that what you're saying, since you like her type of writing?
Yeah, so I'm in between. So I do drama and suspense and a little bit of erotica, but majority it'd be like drama leading into erotica, you know, a little something here and something there.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about your books and how many have you written so far?
Okay, so far I have 4 published. I used to write under the name of April Nicole. My first published book was called Addicted to a Detroit Savage. And I had some little troubles with my ex-publisher. I have to leave them unnamed. But I ended up leaving that company, and now I'm signed to a new publisher. I went independent on my own with one of my books. And being an independent author is very expensive. So I ended up signing to another author, writing under her.
Okay. And being independent versus being under a publisher, do you find it more easier when you're under somebody or actually when you're independent?
Actually, it's a little easier when you're under someone because if you're not financially able to pay for edits and pay for book art or, you know, just the extras to pay for test readers, it's a little bit more easier when you have the publisher that's willing to, you know, invest in your story. So it's a little easier that way.
Okay. Got you. Without coming out of your pocket with everything, because I understand that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the time, when I first came out with my independent book, I had ended up losing my job, and I was, you know, able to, you know, fund myself. But by me losing my job like 5 days before Christmas, it kind of set me back. And I was like, okay, well, what am I going to do now? So I had to, like, sign to somebody else so I could keep coming with those stories.
Okay. And you said how many books have you written so far?
So far, I have 4 that's out.
Okay.
That's out and published for people to read, right?
Okay. Okay. And out of the 4, what's your most favorite out of the 4 that you've written? Like, what's your seller? Like, what's the biggest one that you have that people love to buy from you or are interested in buying from you out of your 4 books?
Okay, so out of my 4 books, well, the first one was the series Addicted to Detroit Savage. I would say that my last one that I just dropped, A Holiday Revenge, So Cold, that one is my bestseller. It's a hitter, like, it's so good that people, like, just been calling me, like, girl, I did not expect this to end like that. Or, you know, like, oh, my God, I got to be a part 2. Like, it was just people calling me on Facebook, It was people reaching out to me through emails. It was a lot. It caused a lot of attention, and I loved it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. And just not to tell the whole book, but can you give us like a little brief synopsis of what it's about?
Okay, so it's about a successful doctor. She's a lesbian. She was in a relationship with someone, and she caught herself getting revenge on her because she thought she was cheating on her, and it backfired. And I can't say how it backfired. That's the thing. It's just people got to read the book to see and, you know, what happened. But it's really juicy because she didn't end up sleeping with a lot of people. So.
Oh, wow.
she slept with her whole, the girl, whole family. Like.
Are you serious?
On. Yes.
Wow.
She slept with the girl, whole family. She back on her so cold. It was like, girl, why you do that?
Right. She's just out there with the family, huh?
Yes, it was like the main question was, how did she do it? That was the question. How did she do that? How she slept with the whole family? That was the question.
Right.
How? Wasn't why. It was how.
How? And we can only find this out by reading, right?
That's right.
Is that
we
correct?
We can only find out by reading. Yeah.
Wow, but that sounds a little deep. I'm about to check that out. This girl don't mess with the whole family. Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
and you said that it's a series, Coco, you said?
Yes, it's going to be a series. It's going to turn into a series. I can give that part away because at first I wasn't telling people, like, okay, is it going to be a part two? Because at the end, the way how I wrote it, I didn't end it with to be continued or, you know, how most authors end it with, you know, what's going to happen next or whatever. I didn't do that. I left a little something letting you know that it's going to be a part two. Yeah, because it's going to be a part two. Yeah.
Okay. And that's good that you did that because I bet you readers were telling you, you know what, I don't know if you're going to have a sequel to this. But from what I read at the end of this, it sounds like it's going to be a sequel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
did you get a lot of that? Okay.
Said. Yeah. Those people said, like, oh, no, it has to be a part two because I got to know what happened next. Oh, what? How you end it like that? Like, that's how I like to write. You know, I like to drop a huge bomb. Like, you could just be reading calm and then you say, what the fuck? Did I just read that? Like, I like to do that. I like my readers to question themselves, like, what the fuck did I just read? Like, what?
Right. And believe it or not, you know that draws themselves to you too when you get it with them lips.
Yes.
Like what done happened? You yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they be like what? Oh no.
So Coco, did you ever think that you would become a writer now at this stage of your life? Like before this time in your life, did you ever think you were going to be a writer, or was it something that you knew earlier on in life that you were going to write books?
No, honestly, to tell you the truth, like, growing up and I was doing, like, a lot of writing, I adored writing. It's just I never thought I was going to be a book author. I never thought that I was going to publish a book. I've always written stories. I was in high school with it, writing them nasty old stories, and the teacher used to take it, call my mom and be like, well, you know, it was never, I never thought that I was going to publish it. I just liked it to do it. You know, I like to do it for fun. It was just a hobby.
Okay.
Yeah. That's natural to me. So I was like, okay, well, let me put it out here to the universe so people can read this.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So were you like did you do any like any creative writing? I know you said you wrote like the little short stories, but were you like any like creative writing groups or anything in your younger years, or was just like you said, it was just a pastime for you?
It was just a pastime for me. No, I never was like in any creative writing classes or anything. It just came to my mind. I thought, ooh, this sounds like a good story, and I just wrote it down.
Okay. Now, is that a natural flow for you? Like when you're getting ready to write a new book or something? Okay. So
yeah, but it just comes to me like a movie. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Any writer block period?
I have not. I'm not gonna sit up here and say that no. I've kind of stumbled across writer block, but what I call myself doing is like I get my brain some time to recuperate. I would have to walk away from the computer for a bit, maybe watch a movie in between time. That's what I would do to, overcome my writer's block. But yeah, I've come across it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have a setting for yourself when you write? Like, are you listening to music and like, what's your like setting for yourself?
Yeah. So I like to light my candles. I like to set my music. I listen to all kinds of music from, country. So it just depends on where I'm at in the book, to whatever station I'm listening to. So yeah, I listen to music, my thug music or my fight music when somebody's fighting, just depends.
Okay. So you more of that hardcore core, or are you a R&B, but you more that hardcore rap? Is that what gets you into your mood?
Yeah, I listen to a lot of City Girls.
Okay.
I listen to a lot of City Girls. And then if I want something really, really hard, then I listen to Meg Thee Stallion. Or, I listen to that type of music. Or, Fada Baby, like Detroit artist music. Then, it depends on the mood.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so who would you consider your biggest supporter, Coco? Like, out of your friends or family, who's like your biggest supporter with your writing?
I believe my biggest supporter is my daughter. That's my biggest supporter.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, is it that does she help mommy out? Is she like mommy's like go to for that? What makes her that big supporter for you? Like, what does she do?
Well, she always want to help me out when it comes down to writing stories. She be like, Mommy, you should put this in your book, and you should say this. And, she just come up to me. She's like, oh, Mommy, you got this book? You wrote this? Oh, you the jam. She's encouraging to me. Like, I look at my daughter, and she encourages me to keep going, because at times I'd be like, okay, look, I want to throw the towel in. I just want to give up. But she keep me going. She keep me on my toes, and she's the closest person to me. So she keeps me going every time. That's my little manager.
Oh. That's cute. Okay. So have you always lived in Detroit? Is that like your birthplace, home and raised, born and raised and all that?
Yeah, born and raised in Detroit City.
Okay. Okay.
From the West Side.
Okay. I know a little bit about it. My mom's first uncle used to live. I visited in 2006. I know a little bit about the West Side of Detroit.
Okay, look at you.
I came there to visit in 2006. Yeah, I came to visit my Uncle A. So yeah, I got a little taste of y'all. Felt like I was back here at home in Chicago. Right. I felt like I was back at home, Coco. So I'm like, yes, I finally got the visit. But I had a good experience. I need to say I didn't get to come back to see my uncle because he passed. But I planned on coming back again pretty soon. I want to do the hood book. Have you done that event? The hood book event?
Yeah, I got an event coming up June 12th. It's coming to the hood book headquarters.
Yes, ma'am.
That's the one you're talking about? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have one coming up June 12th. It'll be my first.
Okay. So you're pretty excited about that?
Yes, I'm very excited. I'm excited to meet new people. I'm excited to meet other authors, to support them. Like, I'm really excited overall.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm going to try to make it to that. I definitely was, because I was supposed to come this past year, but, with COVID happening and everything, it didn't happen. So I'm definitely going to try to make it to that in June as well, too. So I hope to get a chance to see you. Baidu.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. That would definitely be nice.
Definitely, definitely. Yes. Since we definitely neighbors and we right by each other, so definitely.
Right.
Definitely.
Before I was away.
Right. So, writing is your, what's your first career? Like, what is your, what do you do for a living, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I am a salesperson. Like, I sell things. Like, I work in furniture, in the furniture business. So, overall, I'm just a saleswoman.
Okay. And I know you have your strong days and your bad days with that.
Oh, yeah, we have those days. Everybody has those days. Some days we good,
yes.
Some days we bad.
But
I actually graduated from being a salesperson into actually being having my own office and being in a corporate office. So I don't even really sell anything anymore. I just, everybody
okay.
is selling. I just sit back and I just...
Get orders, right?
Right, get
okay.
orders back.
Okay. Congratulations on that.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yes. So, do you put any, like, any, when you were on the sales floor, have you put any of those customers that come in disgruntled? Have you made them out of characters before? Because I be doing that at work. I've made some patients that come in with attitudes. I work the front desk, Coco. I'll be putting them in, but I'm like, I'm putting you in the book.
You know what? I have never done that before. It's a good idea to put them in a book, though. It's a good way how to, you know, express what you want to say to them, you know.
Right.
You can't really say what you want to say at work because you got to keep it professional, but... That's
right.
A good thing. I never thought to do that.
Oh, yeah. When they be making me mad, I be getting them in my head. Like, okay, I'm going to put you in the upcoming book and I'm going to kill
you
off.
In this book. And this is how I'm
going right.
to deal
right.
with you.
Right. Okay.
I can't kill you in real life. I'm going to kill you in the book.
Okay. All right. So, needless to say, I know you've probably gotten a lot of people that have came to you and said, Coco, you've written a book. I want to write a book. What advice have you given those that come to you and ask you that?
Well, I told them that they have to always stay motivated. You have to stay motivated. If you looking for a career into writing, you have to stay motivated. Keep your head up. Don't get discouraged. It's going to be some times when you're going to feel discouraged, but you have to keep going. No matter what, don't give up. And I have had people ask me how I did it. I say, well, I looked at my child, and this is something that I enjoy doing. I love writing. It comes from the heart. It's not for the money. It's not for the riches and the fame. It's simply because this is what I enjoy doing.
Amen on that. And what three or four, give me some things that you would, like, give a person as far as, the, like, tips on when they, you know, wanting to write. Like, what kind of, what are you, like, certain outlines, you avenues you point out, like, okay, this is where you have to go. What kind of advice do you also give as well, too, with that? Like, if they want to say they want to. Like the concert in the genre, like, do you get like certain advice or tips or things like that too?
Yes, I have a lot of people say, well, I want to write, but I can't write. I say anybody can write, but you have to ask your story. You have to ask yourself a question: is my story worth telling? Can I sell? Can I tell my story? And how can I tell my story? So you just, I tell them to free write. Don't worry about spelling. Don't worry about, that's what we get editors for. You can go back. You can go ahead and revise your work before you send it to the editor. But right now, just free write. Write what comes to mind, even if it don't make sense. Form a sentence. Anybody can form a sentence, even if it don't make sense. Still, just write. That's what I tell them. Just write.
Okay.
Okay.
And is that one of the things that, you know, have gotten you to when you first started out? Like, when you first started out, were there more doubts or were you, okay, let me just go full force into this?
Full force. I just went into it. Like, my first book, it was so, so rough. It was like, like, you know it's from Detroit. You could just tell by the language. But I just went straight forward. Like, I wrote my sentences, whatever came to mind, if it was a, whatever scene came to mind, I wrote it. I just free write. Just free write, and then I worry about going back and, you know, revising later.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have a notebook that you jot down stuff when you, like, do your plots?
Well, the thing is, I don't do, like, outlines. I mean, I know it's more strategic for authors to use outlines, but I never can go by outline because I never know what I'm going to say. Never know how a character is going to react or how the dialogue is going to go, because once I get to the typing, I'm typing. It's like, it's just rolling off like a, you know, I'm trying to describe it. Let me see. It's like rolling off, like it's just coming out. It's just easy, like liquid, like it's just spilling. And that's how I'm writing it. So I never get a chance to write a plot, or, you know, I know what I want to say, and I can see how I'll, what I want to say, so I just write it down.
Okay.
Just typing.
Kind of like
yeah.
me.
Mm-hmm.
I do
okay.
that after some time. I've never did an outline, Coco. I just go full
mm-hmm.
force into writing a book. And I know somebody
okay.
has told me that before. It's like, you should do an outline, but I'm like you. I just go full force into writing, and just like, I just let it flow.
Just let it flow.
Yep. yep. I just
then
get the typing on the
yourself...
left.
Oh, no. Go
ahead.
Mm-hmm. Get the typing.
No, I was going to say, yeah, I just get the typing, and it just comes automatically.
That's how I am. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So
save myself from all that writer's block, all
right. Right, because it'll come. It definitely will come.
It'll come.
And it's just,
definitely
and
come.
It's just like, you'll be like, wow, like, oh, my God, what can I do to, like, get over this hump? Because I had the hump a month ago, and I didn't know that I was
mm-hmm.
going to finish my fifth book like I was, but I finally got it knocked out. But it was, like, so much I had to, with the COVID and everything going on, and it's like,
right. mm-hmm.
I got to finish this book, and it's like, I had to really overcome it. I really did.
That's right. And congratulations to you as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Of course.
Yes. So what's coming up in the future for you? Like, I know you got the Hood book signing. Anything else coming up this year for you?
Well, just the Hood book's coming, and then I'm hoping to cross over to a more an audience that, to a realistic, instead of doing just like nonfiction, just cross over to doing something more of, you know, about my life, motivational type of books. So I'm looking forward to doing that as well.
Okay, so self help.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get into that area?
Yeah, I want to get into that area, helping these young mothers, because I'm a single mother, and I know what it's like, you know, it's hard being a single mother. Like, I can be motivational, you know, give advice, put it in a book, let them know my story, you know.
Yep, you never know what story can help somebody. That's true. That's
true.
True.
That
That's true. Okay. And how many more books are you writing? Is it just are you writing one or two, or how many are you putting out?
Well, this year I have a series called Loving a Detroit Hitter coming out soon. That's a 3-part series. And then I have the part 2 to a revenge, a holiday revenge, So Cold. I have that part 2 dropping. And then I have a couple of more other projects that's going to be dropping as well. I don't have a title for them yet, but I know it's going to be out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you a busy lady with this writing. You busy.
Oh, yeah, I'm busy. I'm always on that computer no matter what time it is, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm up.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Spoken from a true story writer. That's right. You a true story
yes.
writer there. When you up 3, 4 in the morning, there you
mm-hmm.
go.
Well, operating off of only, well, like 4 hours of sleep, maybe 5 hours of sleep, but you want to make sure that book's done, so you up.
typing.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Got my little coffee nearby.
Mm-hmm. And you be getting it going, don't you?
Getting it going, typing.
Now, I know you said that you had some issues with your earlier publisher. So
yeah,
we're not too much to go into that, but I want to say and ask you, what advice, Coco, would you give somebody starting out so they wouldn't have the same issues happen with them? Like, what could you tell a person to pay attention to so they wouldn't have that, what some of the things happen to you happen to them?
Okay, so I would definitely tell them to do their research. Do your research. Ask questions. Don't just go with the first person you see. Because what I did was I Googled, okay? I didn't have a clue who to go to. I just know I like the cover. That's the only reason why I went with the publisher, is because I was in love with whoever they had do their covers. And that's why I went wrong at right there. Mm-hmm. I ended up signing my life away. And, you know.
Wow.
For a cover.
Okay.
You know.
Right.
And it may be like that.
Okay. So it would be more or less to just pay attention to, do your research on who they are.
Do your research, pay attention, ask questions. That's what I did with my next, my publisher and went out. I reached out to them authors. I asked questions. I Googled. I see that she's a very, very number one top author, and, you know, where she published her books at. And I was like, okay, well, yeah, I'm comfortable talking to her and communicating with her. Then, yes, I trust her. So, yeah.
So you built that relationship with her.
Yeah, built that relationship with her. Far as my ex-publisher never heard from them. Barely.
Mm. Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear so many horror stories from authors like you that, you know, it's really great. People, I tell people all the time, you got to do your homework, because this writing, this literary industry is not easy. It's not easy at all.
This literary is, you got to have a backbone and a spine, okay? Because it's not built for everybody. It's not built for everybody. You really have to stand. If you're going to be in the literary world, you have to stand. And I'll be telling the other authors, or, you know, aspiring authors, like, you can ask for advice, but everybody's not looking to give you the advice. So you have to be careful with that as well. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you really have to be careful with that. And as an author, you know, growing up, and I'm new to the game, you have those people that's willing to help you. And I had quite a few with this self-publishing, because I was independent for the first time. So I was asking questions, and they were really helping me. And I appreciate all the help that I could get. Like, I appreciate everything. Because it's hard, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's hard out here.
Yeah. And I was there. I definitely understand what you're saying, because I was that newbie that was trying to get everybody to help me, Coco. And it was like I had to, you know, some people were out for their own gain, and some people really were there to help.
Yep.
Right. Know? So I definitely tell people the same thing. When you're starting out, do your research and, you know, look at, ask questions, you know, don't just jump on the first.
Questions.
Yep. The first person you see, you can't jump on, because it's like you may be headed for a road of disaster.
That's right. Lord. I wish I would have dodged that bullet, because I don't understand how you don't communicate with a person that you're making money with. But, hey,
right.
It is what it is. You live and you learn. Mm-hmm. You move on.
Yes, ma'am. And you seem to be very happy with where you are now, so.
I am happy. I am very happy. I love my publisher. Like, when I was going through a financial, a little financial burden, she came through. Like, hey, whatever you need, I got you. I never had that before. I was like, what?
Okay.
Okay. There we go. Man.
Right. Help us with out. And you did. Thank you.
And she came through. Like, okay. I ain't even, not one of those people that, like, be so open to tell my situation, because, you know, it's not everybody's business. And then I don't want people to have self-pity for me. So
I just thank God that she was there. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And that's all that matters. She got your back, and that's of true publishing love. You a person, something like that, has your back and generally has your best interest at heart and cares about you. Definitely.
That is true.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So you said Zane is your favorite author, huh?
Zane. Yes, sir. Miss Zane. You know, I ain't had no business watching that woman's shows growing up. You know, I had no business reading her books growing up, but had I not ever took the chance to read her books, I wouldn't even be an author, to be honest with you. Like, I read other authors. They are all good. I've read other authors, but the erotica was what pulled me in.
Okay.
Ooh,
so
honey.
Is it safe to say Coco gonna dabble in that area soon?
Oh yeah, I wanna dabble. I do wanna dabble in that area soon. Yep.
Okay. Now, have you read all of Zane's books, or just a couple of them? Or?
Majority of them. I haven't read exactly all of them, but majority of them, because I need to find out all of them. I know she got 38 books out, but I know I read at least about 20. So I still got more to go.
Okay. Same here. I read a couple. You took me way back. You going back to my days of working at as a teller on the teller line. We was reading on the teller line, Coco. I was working at the bank. You done took a brother back years back.
Took it back, huh?
Yes. When we was able to sit on the teller line, we ain't had no customers and read. I had everybody
read. That's perfect.
Her and Kwan. Her and Kwan, yep. I had everybody weeding her and Kwan, yep.
Oh,
on
yeah,
the telephone.
Kwan good too, yep. Kwan is good too, yes. That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So, are you looking forward to seeing and meeting any like type of authors, you know, hoping to meet like maybe Zane or somebody in your, you know, in your present life?
Actually, yes. I do definitely plan on meeting new authors, and you know, Kiki Swenson is another one that I've been interested in as well. And I hope, and by the way, I know this is so off subject, but Zane did give me a shout out on one of my on our Holiday Revenge, so called. She hearted it herself,
okay.
So I actually feel special that she gave me a recognition,
and
I love it. Yes, I loved it.
Okay, yeah, you said that definitely. That's definitely something when one of our author brothers and sisters, you know, that's up there before us can shout you out. Yeah, that's definitely that's a good. I know you felt. I know you were smiling from ear to ear. What?
I had that Kool-Aid.
Cause that's your girl, right? Cause that's your girl.
Yeah, I said, right. I had screenshots, put it on Facebook. Like, look, y'all. I know y'all don't care, but I care.
Okay. and how often is it that we get a shout out like that from, you know, one of our author brothers and sisters that's, you know, out there, and that's definitely a good thing that she did that for you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Yeah, I felt special. Yeah, I felt special.
Now, do a lot of the yes. Now, does a lot of the Detroit neighborhood know you? Right, like, are you out there? Like, in is your name out there in the big lights in Detroit for one of the Detroit offices? Like, do a lot of people know you right in your city?
Not a lot of people know that I write in the city. Just mainly the people that I went to school with and that I grew up with. But my name is starting to get a little buzz, you know, Addicted to Detroit Savage. When that book came out and I was under the name of April Nicole, that book really took off in Detroit. And I just believe it was because of the quarantine and everybody was bored and ain't had nothing else to do but to pick up a book. So that's when it started then. They ain't had shit else to do but pick up a book then. So that's when... my name started creating a buzz, but now I'm under the name of Coco Ice. You know, I'm rebranding myself, so they don't really know about that.
Okay.
They don't know about Coco.
Okay. They don't know about Coco, huh?
They don't know about Coco. Miss Coco.
Coco Icy.
I see.
Yes. So crazy. So Coco, drop your handles for us. Where can they find you at on social media?
Okay, so currently I have Facebook. Y'all can find me under Authoress Coco Icy. That's KOKOICEE, Authoress Coco Icy. That's it. That's
okay.
All I got.
Okay. All right.
Uh-huh.
Well, I thank you so much for coming on tonight. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. I hope to see
you
at the Detroit Good Book. Yes, so you got to come back again.
Most definitely. Thank you for having me, and congratulations to all your success.
Thank you so much, Coco, and I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right. No problem. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. So there you guys have it. We have Authoress Coco Icy on tonight. You can reach Coco on Facebook at Author Coco Icy. She is KOKOICEE author. Again, that's author, KOKOICEE. Check out her book. She has some good, phenomenal books. She's from Detroit. Let's support Sister Coco Icy. Again, Coco, thanks for coming on tonight. And I look forward to meeting you in the future, and much success with what's going on with you this year. Next week, we talk to Chicago's West Side own, Honey Thomas. And I'm looking forward to this interview because this is my girl, Honey Thomas. So we talk to Honey Thomas. West Side, Chicago, Honey Thomas next week on the Saturday Spotlight. As always, again, you guys have the rest of your good week. It is Martin Luther King weekend. Enjoy it if you have Monday off. Let's think about what the special occasion means, being off on the holiday. Positive vibes this week with the inauguration. Let's speak it into existence. A positive inauguration ceremony. Peace, peace, peace. And always, what you do for Christ is the only thing that will last. And I will talk to you again next week on the Saturday Spotlight. Good night.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Saturday Spotlight with your host, Jeffrey Rochelle.